Thank you, Kyle and worship team, and good morning, everybody. Hope you guys are doing well. Welcome back to church for many of you. I know we've been apart for a very long time. I think this is our third week now back together, and we still looks different. We've got our 9 o'clock service, which went really well this morning. Now here we are with the 11 o'clock service, so we're trying to go through this the best we can. As I heard one pastor say, this is like trying to change a car tire while the car is moving, right? It's incredibly difficult. So we're doing the best we can. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Hey, I've got some exciting news for you. Phase two begins next Sunday, July 5th. What is that? Well, we're in a three-phased reopening plan. So just like everything else in the world right now, most places are reopening slowly and in phases, and that's the same thing we're doing here at Kernan. So we're excited to say that phase two begins next Sunday, July 5th. Here's what that means. So that means that our adult community groups, that's our adult Bible study time, our adult community groups will begin or may begin meeting next Sunday. Now, every group is different, right? Every group's age is different. Every group's needs are different. So please check with your community group leader, or they will be contacting you to let you know this week, if they haven't already, when and where your group will be meeting. But we're excited for that to start taking place next Sunday. Our student ministry will start meeting again next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So they've already been meeting on Wednesday nights, practicing social distancing while they're together. But we're going to move the ball forward on Sunday mornings. So 7th through 12th grade will begin meeting next Sunday at 10 a.m. Unfortunately, we still, you know, are not going to have we will not have preschool or kids ministries next week, no child care. We feel it's best to continue limiting that involvement right now, but we are looking forward to resuming kids' activities in phase three, which we have not set a date for just yet. And just a reminder, as always, please practice social distancing as you are in your community groups. So I know we're going to be, your group will be in obviously a much smaller room than this, but please space out and respect everyone's boundaries and all that good stuff. Let's just, you know, respect everybody, and no matter where you fall on the spectrum, we want everyone to feel safe. All right, so we're excited about that. Well, I want to welcome our online audience, all of you watching at home right now. We're so glad to have you in the worship service here with us virtually. So thank you so much for being a part of this morning. If you have any questions, feel free to email our church, info@kernanchurch.com, and we would love to respond and get to know you better in that way. And all of you here in the room today, thank you so much for being here. Hey, if you are a first-time guest with us this morning, we're so glad that you're here. And I want you to know that you came on a very unique Sunday, not just because the chairs are spaced apart. I promise that's not because we don't like each other. We would love to be sitting closer, but it's a unique Sunday because we are recapping our five-year vision as a church today. We started this last week, and it's just a two-week recap, so you're in the second week now of the recap. So essentially, before the pandemic started, we launched a five-year strategy or plan or vision, whichever word you want to use. We launched that for our church and who we believe God wants us to be moving forward over the next 5 years to 2025. And then, you know, as soon as we laid our plans out and who we thought we needed to be as a church, guess what? A worldwide pandemic started. So, you know, who saw that coming? So here we are a few months later, and I thought it'd be helpful for us to just recap the details of the vision that God's given us in terms of who we believe Kernan needs to be, Kernan Church, moving forward over the next 5 years. So if you're here visiting, we're so glad to have you, and this is a great Sunday to learn a lot about our church and who we believe God wants us to be. So typically I do preach through a lengthy passage of Scripture or a book of the Bible, so this is going to be a little different this morning. But we are going to start in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, so if you have your Bibles, open up there. Verses 18 through 20, I'd like to read this and then pray for us as we get started. And this passage of Scripture is famously known as the Great Commission that Jesus gave his disciples before he ascended into heaven after he rose from the grave. And so here's what he says to them in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that your word is true and that you are with us. Jesus, you have given us this great mission and responsibility as your followers to live on mission for you, Lord, to make disciples. But you did not leave us alone. You put us together in this body of Christ, the family of God, the church. But you also, Lord, here promise that you will be with us. And so we're so grateful today, Lord, that you are with us. What an honor and a privilege to worship our Creator God as you are present with us. So we pray, Lord, as we embark on this 5-year vision and plan for our church, Lord, that this would not be about us. This would not be about the fame of this church or any person or human. But Jesus, that you would get the glory and that you would lead us and guide us in the direction you would have us to go so that we may be faithful and obedient in making disciples of all nations, teaching them all that you have commanded us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, that's really the question we're asking, right? What kind of church does God want us to be? What kind of church does Kernan need to be over the next 5 years to be faithful to this great commission that Jesus has given us? And that's what we're asking. So last week, and I'll bring you up to speed if you weren't here last week we simply talked about we're using the transportation metaphor, right? So we talked about the road, the lanes, and the destination. So the road that we're on, so to speak, is really the story of God. It's the way of Jesus, right? It's the gospel. That's the path. That's the road that, as a follower of Jesus, that we find ourselves on. And so within that road, you could say there are three lanes. And so these three lanes that we looked at last week are really the three purposes of any church anywhere at any time in history. Any Jesus-following, gospel-preaching church should be doing these three things. And those are worshiping God, walking with the Lord in close fellowship, and witnessing to the world about Him. So those three purposes are vital and essential, and we find those in the Great Commission, we find those in the New Testament, but we also want to know what destination we need to head towards, right? So, you know, I don't know about you, but anybody remember those Rand McNally big maps? You know, my dad would whip that big old thing out when we would go on family vacations. It's like, why are you driving and looking at this massive map at the same time? Oh my gosh, let's start praying right now. But thank God we don't have to do that anymore, right? We have GPS, you know what I mean? Thank God, yes, and it usually works. So consider this our GPS today. We're talking about how we need to get to a specific destination. And that destination is, in other words, what characterizes those three purposes of our church? How should we here at Kernan worship and walk and witness? And when you put all that together, we arrive at our new vision statement for our church, which says, Kernan exists to glorify God by making disciples who worship with authenticity, walk in community, and witness as we go out into this world for the Lord and for His glory. So I hope you understand now the destination. That's who we want to be. And that's where we're moving towards. But now the GPS part of it, the directions to get there. How are we going to get to that destination? That's what we're talking about today. And continuing with our transportation metaphor, we're talking about the vehicles. So what are the vehicles that are going to actually take us to becoming this kind of church over the next 5 years? In other words, what are the ministries, the vehicle, the ministry that will help us in this way? So that's what we're looking at today. Now, what vehicle are we going? I don't know about you guys, but look, my family, we're going in a Honda Odyssey, okay? That's what we're traveling in. on the next 5 years and beyond for a long time. I didn't know how cool I was until I started driving a minivan. Then I figured it out. Not very cool. All right, so there are six vehicles or ministries here at Kernan that are going to take us to this destination of 2025. So what are they? All right, well, they are worship service. They are community groups. They are next gen ministry, which that's next generation ministry. That's birth to college. They are Kernan Missions, Kernan Equip, and Kernan Central. So these are six ministries or six vehicles that we believe we all need to be a part of in different ways to move together to becoming this kind of church that God wants us to be. So our goal today is simply to go through each of these briefly and talk about their purpose and their function. Now, I want to remind you that I think it was back in early March, which seems like 5 years ago now, but just a few months ago in March, we went through this in detail in a sermon and a presentation that I gave. But if you weren't here, you don't remember, I want you to know that that is online, so you can go look at even more details about these ministries on our website, kernanchurch.com. But in the meantime, we're going to kind of give a brief overview today of each of these so we really understand where God is leading us. So let's talk about the first one, worship service, all right? So Hebrews 12, verse 28 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." First of all, how glad are you that you're a part of the kingdom of God that cannot be shaken? "And thus let us offer to God not just any kind of worship, but acceptable worship with reverence and awe." Acceptable worship. What does acceptable worship look like? It's worship that is reverent and awe, full of awe. So if we want to become a church that makes disciples, and then there's that first phrase of our mission statement, our vision statement, right? Make disciples that do what? Worship with authenticity. Then we need to be very intentional in the way that we conduct our worship service. So that's the vehicle we're talking about. That's where we are right now, right? You didn't realize it, but you're buckled in. You're in the vehicle right now, right? This is it. So when we use the word worship, now typically we think of singing, right, and music, and that is absolutely a huge part of the worship service. We just did that just a moment ago, but we also need to consider other forms of worship and how we express praise and gratitude to God. So here's the primary forms of worship we want to include here at Kernan over the next 5 years moving forward, and all of these are prescriptive in the New Testament. In other words, we can look at the New Testament teachings and see, yes, as a church, we're commanded to do these things. So singing and playing music, obviously, that's the big one there at the front. Preaching the Word of God, that's such a primary place in the worship service. Baptism, right? After you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you should be baptized as a symbol, an expression of what Christ has done in your life. Moving forward, Lord's Supper. So we're actually going to participate in that today, which I'm really excited about. And if you didn't already, you probably noticed we have a table at the front entrance, and we have on the offering tables here on the side entrances, we have the Lord's Supper in a little cup. And it's a little different than we normally do it, but we're trying to be, you know, sanitary and all that. So we have the little piece of bread there in the cup as well, so you can figure it out. But if you didn't get one, make sure you get up and go get one off of these tables before we participate. That'll be at the end of the service today. But the Lord's Supper, why do we do that? Well, we participate because it is so special to remember what Jesus has done for us. He commanded us to do this, right? He exemplified what this looks like, the family of God gathering around the table of God as one unit, participating and expressing our praise to God for what He's done for us. So that's a huge part of it. What about prayer, right? Prayer should be intentional in the worship service. We should pray. Scripture reading, right? The public reading of God's Word is so important. Giving financially, that's an act. That's a form of worship. So we do all of those things in the worship service, this vehicle, this ministry that we're calling it. And we do those not just out of religious duty or obligation or because we're supposed to and check off the box. We do these out of grateful hearts for who Christ is and what he's done in our lives. And we do these with authenticity. We want to worship with authenticity. All right, well, that's the first vehicle. Now, the second vehicle that's going to take us to 2025 are community groups. Community groups. Now, when I say community groups, if you're not familiar with that term, this is basically kind of like a Sunday school, Bible study, small group. Other churches call it different words, but we're going to call it community groups, and you'll see why. So Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, he says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." So our vision statement says that we want to make disciples who do what? Walk in community. In other words, that walk with the Lord and grow in their faith. Paul says we should be growing up. We should grow in our faith. So praise God that Jesus has not only saved us, but he also sanctifies us. In other words, we become more like him over the span of our life as we walk closely with him. But the best way to do that, as Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 4, is not by yourself. It's not by yourself. Christians are called, we are commanded to live in community and walk with the Lord together. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other. And why is that? Because we live in a world today that does not want anything to do with the teachings and the practice of Jesus and his ways, right? So for us to say, for someone to say, well, I don't need to be in a small group. I don't need to be in a Bible study. I don't need to be in a community group, whatever y'all are calling it. For someone to say that they don't need that in their lives, basically, essentially what you're saying is, I'm fine. Like, I'm good enough, right? I can do this on my own. I can be a Christian in the world today without any help or any love or any care for me or any encouragement from other Christians. I don't need that in my life. But listen, we all need that. I need that. We all need that. So I really can't overemphasize the need for every adult here at Kernan to be involved with and plugged into a community group moving forward, even more than ever before. We want to become a church. We want to become a church where people grow in their walk with the Lord and learn to love him and love others, but we do that together. So the purpose of community groups then is to connect us with each other so that we can grow as the body of Christ, like we just read there in Ephesians chapter 4. So we build one another up in love. So to that end, there are three major purposes that we see moving forward in each community group here at Kernan. And here they are. We believe each group should be learning together, serving together, and doing life together. So in other words, we should be learning about God's word together, right? It's so important for a Christian in this world to know what the Bible says and what it means. We want to know what God's word says, but we also want to know what it means and how to apply it to our daily lives. And what better way to do that than being in a group of other people around your same age and looking at the word together and studying it together and talking about it together and having fun together as you talk about it. That's so important. We all need that. But we also want to serve together. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this later under Kernan Missions, but we want each group serving in our city and loving on the people around us in our community. We also want to do life together. We want to bear one another's burdens. When one person mourns, we all grieve and mourn with that person. When one person rejoices in our group, we rejoice with that person. We celebrate their milestones in their life when they do that as well. We want to live life together. We want to do life together. We want to have fun together, right? But Before we move on, thinking about these three purposes, I do want to remind you of some of the logistics that we're changing a little bit in our structure moving forward with the way we do groups. Now, we do have a new system and a new structure for these community groups, and I want to assure you the reason for this is to set up a system that accommodates numerical growth easily and also in an organized manner. So you can see here the chart on the screen. So currently, so the left column is our current classes and their current age, all right? And then the new column, this will be the new names of the groups moving forward. I know that all looks like, you know, droids from Star Wars, CG-20. But it's cool, right? So we're gonna go with these names, we're gonna go with these groups. And the big difference here is that we're organizing our groups based on decades, right? So currently, if someone visits our church, you know, and, you know, we ask them, well, now, are you 55 or 56? Because that depends, you know. Listen, who wants to be asked their specific age? Nobody, right? So that's okay. We want to respect that. So we're going to say, well, what decade are you in? How about that's a little better, right? So we're gonna systematize this in a way that it'll be easy for us to promote each class, each group, and what they're doing, and to grow and multiply. That's really the goal. We want to multiply our groups over time as we grow as a church. So I'm really excited about this. If you have any questions at all, I said this last week as a joke, but this week, seriously, Pastor Jeremy is a pastor of community groups, and so he's over this, and so I want you to talk to him. If you have any questions, you can talk to me as well. You can email the church, you can call us, you can come by and see us. We would love to explain to you kind of what we're doing and our strategy moving forward, but we're really excited. I am super excited about this. Our community groups are going to be amazing moving forward. We've got great leaders in place. Seriously, we have awesome, awesome community group leaders in place, and we're really excited about that moving forward. All right, moving on. So next-gen ministry, next-generation ministry. Psalm 145, verse 4 says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Generations loving the Lord together in the same church, the older, the younger, everyone working together. You see, here at Kernan, we want to partner with families so that every generation is involved in building a Christ-centered home. Now, here's the thing. This vehicle, so to speak, this next-gen ministry or vehicle, parents and guardians, I want you to know, this is really about birth to college, right? We're calling it from diapers to diplomas, okay? That's what this ministry is geared towards. But ultimately, the driver of this vehicle is you. If you're a parent or a guardian of a kid between birth and college, you're driving that vehicle. But the church wants to be your co-pilot. We want to sit in the passenger seat and whip out the big Rand McNally atlas and map for you. Right? We want to be the GPS that helps you. We want to equip you. We want to resource you and make sure that you have everything you need to succeed in discipling your child, which really starts in the home. That's what we need. We need Christ-centered homes. If you want to see this world reach for Jesus, we need to start training our children to love the Lord and grow up in His ways. And so as a church, we want to help you do that. We want to do everything we can to be there for you along the way, to raise up a generation who lives out the vision, that worships with authenticity, right? That walks in community and witnesses as they go out and live their lives. So next gen ministry here at Kernan includes everything from a newborn baby to senior year in college. But here's how we're organizing these groups moving forward. So we have Kernan Preschool. Kernan Preschool is birth to kindergarten. Now, there is a change here for those of you already familiar with Kernan. We're moving kindergarten to the main building. They were in the Family Life Center. We're moving kindergarten back to the main building on the preschool hall, so they're closer to their parents, just in case they need a parent during that time, and just being able to have a familiar environment as they're starting school. So we felt like that was the best option moving forward. Also, Kernan Kids. All right, so Kernan Kids Ministry is going to be first through fourth grade. And they're going to continue to meet where they are now, and that's in the Family Life Center. All right, and then we have something new called the 5-6. All right, so if you have a fifth grader or a sixth grader, they should be super excited about this, because This ministry is geared and tailored just for them. It's a bridge ministry, right? That's such a difficult transition for kids moving from elementary school to middle school. So we thought, hey, the 5-6, let's create a ministry just for them to really help them make that transition in a godly, healthy manner. So that's the purpose of this. It's a bridge ministry to provide a safe environment where students can engage in that specific programming suited for their age and to help them make that great transition there in life. Kernan students, 7th through 12th grade. So we're really excited about our student ministry. We've got some really cool things in store for them coming really soon. We're doing some work upstairs, and they're going to have a new space. It's going to be really neat, and they're super excited about it themselves. And then we have Kernan College. No, we're not starting a university of our own. That's kind of what it looks like. But this is our college ministry, and we're super excited to continue involvement with the Baptist Collegiate Ministry at the local schools around the area, University of North Florida, FCSJ, and these schools. We're really excited to partner with them, JU as well. So some things to look forward to coming out next gen. We're going to have a Kernan Family Discipleship Guide coming out, which is going to be really cool. And also we're going to do some volunteer training for those of you who volunteer in Next Gen Ministry. So we're excited about that. If you have any questions, see Pastor Jonathan. Jonathan is our Next Gen pastor here at Kernan. He can answer any questions you may have. He can plug you in a way you can serve. All right? So, Kernan Missions. Kernan Missions. Well, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This is really fascinating because Jesus laid out a plan for his followers to follow his mission and the responsibility he gave them to witness for him around the world. But you know, it started in their own city, right? It started in Jerusalem, and then it expanded from there to their region and to the ends of the earth, all the way around the world. And so we're going to follow that same pattern. Before I get into that, though, John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So the Father sent Jesus the Son to earth on mission to save the world. And now, this is really amazing. Jesus says, "I'm sending you now. You're continuing what I started." Now, this is a big responsibility. So at Kernan, we want to be a church that makes disciples who witness as we go, as we live our lives in this world. We're called to be witnesses of Christ and his great gospel message as we go, as we live our lives, in every single circle of influence that God has placed you. So, in other words, whoever you live around, whoever you work around, whoever you spend your time with, that's the circle of influence that God has put you as his follower. And he wants you to be a witness for him to those people, to be salt and light to those people around you. So we want to see lives transformed by God's grace. Praise God that he does not just save us, but he also sanctifies us. And as we read earlier, Jesus is with us. He promises that he is with us to the end of the age. And so we want to be a part of this great story of God and see more and more lives transformed by the goodness of Jesus, by the grace that he offers so freely through his blood. So we must share this good news with everybody. And so over the next 5 years, we've got a plan and a strategy to divide this up in ways that we believe will be most practical for our church to pursue this great mission. So we're going to do this in local missions, domestic missions or national missions, and international missions. So I want to break these down real quickly for you so you kind of get a grasp of what we're thinking here. So local missions, we mean in Jacksonville. And we want to love this city, we want to serve this city, and we want to see this city grow in its understanding of who God is. We want to see people's lives transformed and drawn to Jesus. So to do that, we're going to put boots on the ground, so to speak. We're going to ask each community group to adopt a local missions effort or organization. So your group that you're a part of on Sunday mornings will adopt a missions organization somewhere in our city. And we're asking that you serve that organization. And so I think organizing our local missions through our community groups will actually allow us to support more missions efforts around our city, and I also believe this will get more people serving, right? Because, you know, in the past at any church you've attended before, a lot of times, here's how the missions goes. Well, hey guys, we're going to have a sign up if you want to go serve at so-and-so ministry, you know, at so-and-so time next week, sign up on the table outside, and we'd hope to see you there. And then 98% of the people walk right by that table and never sign up and never go serve. But by organizing our missions efforts through our community groups, it gives you a sense of ownership, right? It helps us all realize, you know what, we bear this burden together. We want people's lives to be transformed by the good news of Jesus, and so we're going to do this together in an organized manner that allows us to reach more people in our city. So we're so excited about this. I couldn't be more excited about that, honestly. It's going to be really great. We're called to be salt and light for Jesus in our city. And so your community group leaders are going to be expressing this to you and giving you details on that moving forward over the coming months. But not only that, we want to reach our nation. We want to reach North America. The primary way we want to make an impact in the United States is through the North American Mission Board, which we support here at our church. And that's primarily through church planting. So when I say church planting, that means starting new churches in places that really need them desperately. Now, here in the South, we look around and see a church on every corner, and we're like, well, we don't need more churches. But there's places right here in America where the evangelical Christian population is actually very low percentage, and the amount of churches to that ratio is very low. And so we want to increase that number. We want to be a part of what God is doing in cities that are very secularized, like Boston, Massachusetts, or Seattle, Washington. We want to go to places with the gospel of Jesus and reach the people who need to hear his name. And so how do we do that? Well, we're going to pray for a particular church. We want to find a church in the United States to support. And we want to pray for them. We want to support them financially. But we also want to go and serve them and go on a mission trip to them. So I'm really excited about that. It's going to be really cool over the next couple of years how that pans out. But we also want to be involved in international missions. So we want to be passionate about taking the gospel to every nation, because that's what Jesus was passionate about. That's what he commanded us to do in the Great Commission. So we already have a partnership in the country of Slovenia with Randy and Joan Bell, and we're excited to continue praying for them, supporting them financially, going on a mission trip to serve them. But we also want to establish new partners. We want to reach other countries in different ways, and so we're looking to establish these new partnerships over the next couple of years, and we want to pray for them. We want to give to them financially, but we also want to go and go to those countries and send teams to them to serve their needs. I couldn't be more excited about Kernan Missions. God's going to do great things if we humble ourselves before him and be obedient to where he's calling us to go. So, the gospel's not just for us. We take it. We take it out. But we have to equip ourselves. And that leads us to the next vehicle, Kernan Equip. Now, this is a new terminology around here in terms of our church, but it's not new in terms of the activities that we're doing, and you'll see what I mean. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Paul says, and we read this earlier, but I want to focus in on these two verses, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. We must equip ourselves to actually build the body of Christ. So the purpose of Kernan Equip, this ministry in our church, is to live up to its name, right? We want Kernan to be a place where every member truly feels equipped to live their daily lives for the glory of Jesus. So one of the three main functions of our community groups that we talked about earlier is learning about the Bible together, right? But sometimes we need deeper training. Sometimes we need to go deeper, take a step further into the pool, so to speak. Sometimes we need training about specific topics so we can be equipped to live on mission in our homes and in our world in very specific scenarios. And sometimes we need to challenge ourselves to go deeper in our study of God's Word. So the community group aspect on Sunday morning is going to be great, and we need that fellowship. But we're going to need even deeper study in God's Word sometimes. That's what Kern and Equip is for. So whether it's being, whether it's doing an in-depth study on one particular book of the Bible, or learning more about marriage, or parenting, or being trained to share the gospel, we want Kernan to be a place where every single member feels fully equipped to live their lives for the glory of Jesus out in this world, no matter what your personal situation looks like. That's what Kernan Equip is for. So there's really three major outlets that we want this to take place in. First of all is our Wednesday night classes. So our Wednesday night classes are already there. We want to add more classes on Wednesday nights to provide more opportunities for you to be equipped with different resources and topics. But this is such a great way to go deeper in your study of God's Word and who God is with other people on Wednesday nights. Men's and women's events. This will be a great way to do this. Discover Kernan. For those of you that aren't familiar, Discover Kernan is our membership class. So you have to go through that class to become a member here. And we're really excited, though, because we've revamped it, and it's going to be really cool. And it's really that first step. Discover Kernan is the first step you take in Kernan Equip to equip yourself and let the church equip you to be on mission for Christ in this world and live for Him. So I couldn't be more excited about Kernan Equip. It's going to be really, really good over the next few months. So that's our fifth vehicle. And lastly, Kernan Central. All right, so we got to the end. Kernan Central is simply a name that we're giving to help us bring clarity and organization to all of our leadership in the church, as well as our policies and our procedures for everything that we do. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, this is the boring vehicle. I don't have to pay attention right now. But these are very important, right? Kernan Central is absolutely important for the future of our church and who we want to be, because this really guides a lot of the things we do. So this includes our leadership team, such as our staff, our deacons, our finance team, community group leaders, Kernan Equip leaders, Next Gen leaders and volunteers, our Kernan Safety Awareness Team, KSAT, First Impressions Team, Worship Team. All the leadership roles in our church fall under Kernan Central. But this also includes our church bylaws, which is a legal document that we have in our church, policies, our business meetings, staff handbooks, property, and all that stuff. There's a lot of really important stuff in Kernan Central. So don't overlook that, right? And a lot of you, I know, will be more involved than others in Kernan Central as a leader in the church, but we're excited because this is going to be a really great way to serve the body of Christ moving forward. So I know I've thrown a lot out there today, and we've covered a lot of ground. And like I said, you can go back online and watch the previous sermon and other sermons where we got into even more details. A lot of these details, you could just simply ask one of us staff. We would love to talk with you more about what's going on here at Kernan and how you can be involved. But I want to talk about that first, how you can be involved. You know, I think it's important that the body of Christ, the fellowship of believers we call a church, this family of God, it's so important that we each do our part and we really own this ourselves, that we take ownership in this. And so what I mean is, I want you to think about your life in particular. Where do you want to be in 5 years from now? By the year 2025, what do you think your life will look like? What do you want it to look like? Now, I know that's kind of a silly question in the middle of a pandemic, right? We don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. Everything keeps changing. But where do you want to be in 5 years? And I ask you that because I want to challenge you to make the vision that God has laid out for Kernan, to make that a part of your personal life. Over the next 5 years, how can you incorporate the vision of the family of God into your personal life? I mean, how committed really, how serious really are you going to be about your personal walk with the Lord? Are you going to go off like the Lone Ranger and just go rogue and do it yourself? Or are you humble enough to admit, like we all should admit, man, I need the church. I need each other. I need fellow Christians to come alongside me and help me through this life. And I want to help others. Man, if we have that kind of attitude, if we kind of that humble spirit about us that Jesus exemplified himself. I remember Jesus kneeling down to wash his disciples' feet, the creator of the world, coming to earth, and he does something like that. Man, if we have that kind of attitude, if we adopt that mindset of humility and service to one another, man, think of how our church will grow in love, how we will grow in purpose and mission. So I challenge you, make a commitment. Make a commitment to being a part of what God is doing here at Kernan. And to make it a part of your personal life, to be involved, to love God and love others, to worship with authenticity, walk in community, and witness as you go out in this world.